So we have the statement of Shmuel on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Omar Shmuel Bodka Karka Olam V'Yoshma Aleh U'Motza Dam Aleh Tahora Shenemer B'Bsor Ad Shetargish B'Bsor Toshma Ha'isha Shehi Osa Tzrocheha V'Rosa Dam. Rabbi Meir Omer Im Omedes Tmeya. Rashi says Omedes Tmeya, the Aidi de Dochikla Atzma, de Bimumad Hishtina, Velo Yochla Latzar, Hadur Meiraglaim Lamokar, the Icy Dam. But Yosheves Tahura, Rashi says, de Mako Yeshla Bimokom Meiraglaim, Shein Derch Damnida Lotzes im Meiraglaim. So the Gemara says, "Hey, Chidomi, according to Shmuel, Mimonav Shach, Ivi Argisha is Yosheves Amay Tahor Vi Lav. If she had no Argisha, Lo Argisha is Omedes Tmeya. Why is she Tmeya Bomedes? So if she had Argisha, it shouldn't make any difference. She's always Tmeya. If she didn't have Argisha, she's always Tahora. Why make this distinction between Omedes? Where in the case of Omedes, we think that because of the Meiraglayim, the Dam was able to come out Min HaMokor, whereas in the case of Yosheves, it's impossible for the Dam to come Min HaMokor with the Meiraglayim. It must be that it came from a Makor. Why make this distinction if she had Argosha? Leolam, says the Gemara, the Argosha. She did have Argosha. But the Amor, we want to raise the possibility, Hargoshas Meiraglayim Havi, that she confused it and it was really not a Hargosha, but it was rather Hargoshas Meiraglayim. Therefore, make the following distinction. Omedes Hodu Meiraglayim Lemokor V'Aisi Dam. So it's quite possible that the Dam came Min HaMokor. But Yosheves, where we assume that since the Meiraglayim is not going back to the Mokor, it must be that it's Dam Min HaMakor. Okay. Now what we'd like to do today is to go through the concept of Dam Hargosha and try to sort of connect a lot of the strands, a lot of the points that we've been making together. And I find that this article here, this essay that I have for you in Moreshes Moshe Simon Pei, is a pretty good place to start. He quotes the Sidrei Tara, which I have in front of me, and he starts by quoting a Tosus Rid. Now, the Tosus Rid, you'll see on page Resh Nun Dalid, and just to show you where we want to get to, on Resh Nun Vav, which is about two pages later, you'll see on the left side he has the Ramban and the Rashba. And basically, these are going to be two approaches to explain why the Torah requires Hargosha, and to analyze the nafkaminas between these two approaches. Now, if you, again, just to get the outline of where we want to get to, the nafkamina between these two shitos, the Tosfos Rid on the one hand and the Ramban on the other hand, is on page Resh Nun Zayin. So if you want to make a note of it, I checked it off. I don't know if that wouldn't come out in your pages, but it is a paragraph that says Nafkamina at the very end of this presentation of the Ramban. So that Nafkamina is going to give us a case which depends upon the two answers to the magical question why the Torah requires Hargosha, the one answer the Tosfos Rid, and the other of the Ramban. Then again, getting back to the structure of this essay, having set up two shitas, then we're going to find Tosfos seems to contradict himself, and whereas here on Daf Nun Zayin he seems to present and reflect one of the two shitas, but earlier in the Masechta on Daf Zayin he reflects the other shita. So the question is there some sort of irreconcilable contradiction in the Shita Satosus here. Which camp does he belong to? Is he in the Tosus Rid's camp or in the Ramban's camp? And that's on page Reish Nun Zayin. On Reish Nun Ches, he analyzes the Shitos of the Rambam and Rashi. We're not going to spend too much time on Rashi's Shita, but we will, believe me, spend some time on the Rambam Shita. And the last thing I want to do with you in this article, if we get to it, is a tshuva, a very interesting tshuva of Rabbi Kiveger, which he quotes on the top left of page Reish Samach. So let's begin now with the Tosus Rid. Now, the Tosus Rid is going to be not a loner, but he's supported by other Rishonim of the Ashkenazic school of thought, and that is the Sefer HaEshkol and the Or Zeruah. So basically, we're going to try to, in a sense, make a cholent here of three different Rishonim and assume they're all presenting the same thesis. The Tosus Rid writes the following. Im lo hergisha sheyotza mibsara tahorehi di emur lo bodki yofa ubekarka havahai dam meikara. And what this means is that although Shmuel's scenario is that she checked the karka before she sat down and she didn't see any dam, and therefore we assume that the dam is coming migufa, because where else did it come from? And at this point, we're not raising other possibilities about shuk shel tavochim and tziporim and makolosus and all the like. And therefore, Shmuel says that probably the dam is mibsara, and if it's migufa, she should be tmeya. No, says the Tosus Rid. You know what? Our premise that the dam is migufa is based on one assumption, namely that habedika, when she checked the ground before she sat down, was a reliable bedika, meaning we can assume that there's no dam there. There wasn't any dam there, and she sat there, the dam must have come migufa. Comes along the Torah and says, you know what? We're not going to rely on Habadika. Why? We have Shnei Ksuvim Machishim Zetze. On the one hand, we have Habadika, but on the other hand, why didn't she feel the dam? I'm sorry, why did she feel the dam coming out of her body? Again, there's another discussion here exactly what that means, but we have the three shitas on Hargosha, which is in the next essay, that's Pe'alf. We're not getting to that today. But the absence of Hargosha, in a sense, is a reusa on her bedika. Because if we're relying on the bedika, and the dam therefore ipso facto came migufa, why didn't she feel it coming out? The Torah assumes that dam that's coming min amokar would be dam that's associated or accompanied with argosha. And the absence of argosha leads me to cast the shadow of a doubt on her bedika. And once we cast the shadow of that on Abedika, we're back to asking the basic question, where did the dam come from? Did it come migufa, or did it come from someplace else? Now, you may feel, as I do, a certain resistance to this Tosus Rid. And the reason why I feel a resistance to this Tosus Rid is because we've been racking our brains, and I think we came up a good solution to the problem of Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva. Remember, we've said it so many times, it's probably coming out of your ears already, but remember we were bothered by the fact that Shmuel darshens the Pasuk Vibsara, and he comes to the conclusion that a kesem is tahar, midoraisa. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, just as we turn the page to Nun Ches Amid Beis, says that the reason a kesem is tar is because of a different drasha of dam velo kesem. And based on this question, we came to the conclusion that Shmuel l'chud and Rabbi Akiva l'chud, Rabbi Akiva is worried about where did this dam come from. Maybe it's not dam in amokar. Shmuel knows it's dam in amokar. He never questioned that premise. she checked the ground, and it, by definition, by possible elevation, it came from the Makom. Nor of us, but Shmuel says it's a separate din of Hargosha. That's the way, you know, we've presented this all along, and Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel are addressing two different issues. Rabbi Akiva is addressing the issue, where did this dam come from? Did it come from Gufa or did it not? Shmuel's addressing a different issue. I grant you it came in Gufa, but did she have Hargosha or not? And we're very influenced by that. Now, in that sense, if I would have written this article, I would have started with the Ramban. Because I honestly believe that the Ramban is going to reflect our approach that we've been establishing for weeks now. And Shmuel doesn't address the question of where did the dam come from. That's left for Rabbi Akiva. So I'm going to try to claim that our approach is very deeply rooted in the Ramban, which is not bad. You know, the Ramban is the Ramban. So that gives me a certain sense of comfort. So I would have started here with the Ramban. He wants to start with the Tosfos Rid. I give him a Yasher Koach because by starting with the Tosfos Rid, I have a greater appreciation for the Ramban. So right now I'm going to rack my brains to try to figure out what the Tosfos Rid is saying, and then I'll be feeling much more at home when I get to the Ramban. So the author of the Moreshes Moshe adds a comment after quoting the Tosfos Rid verbatim, and he says, Mevuar shatam debeinan largoshu kidei lochiach shadam bo migufa velo mialma. She made a bedika. That itself should ipso facto prove that the dam came in gufa. No, we're not going to rely on a bedika. Why don't we rely on a bedika? I mean, that's what bedikas are all about, are they not? Although I have to tell you a story about Erev Pesach, but anyway, what we found after the bedika. But that's a little embarrassing. No, I'm embarrassed about it. This never happened to me. I really did a botched job this year, I have to tell you. Thank God we found it before Pesach, but it was already after Shas Yisuro. So why are we being Matil Sofek on the bedika? And the answer is because of the absence of Hargosha. This same shita is reflected in the Sefer HaEshkol. Again, it's a Sefer that I don't have access to. And he writes that Ksamim af below Hargosha Karav Lomar Lav Migufa Shetmeyam Midrabbanan. In other words, why are the Rabbanan stepping in? Why isn't this Kesem a Tumidoraisa? And the answer is because since she didn't have Hargosha, is Karav Lomar, you know, we have a strong inclination to believe that the dam came from somewhere else. Lav Migufa. Again, in a sense, every dam that a woman finds already puts a question mark on her status. You know, we're already inclined to think that she's a Nida. But connected that, we have the Reusa, that if you want to claim that Hachazoka now converted and transformed to a Cheskas Nida, Cheskas Tmeo, well, I have a question to ask you. Most Dam in the world doesn't come Migufa. You don't know that the Dam didn't come Migufa. And therefore, the Torah is not going to be metamiha based on some sort of flimsy assumption that the dam came migufa. Where did the dam come from? Probably came migufa. No, the Torah is not going to rely on that. The Torah is going to say she's tahora. And why is the Torah going to say she's tahora? He says because karav lomar dilav migufa. We really have a heavy evidence or probability theory to believe that the dam came from elsewhere. And that's why the dam is not metame hamidoraisa. Now keep in mind, the Eshkol is attaching this comment to Shmuel. You know, if he had made a comment, you know, glat neveltaran, you know, he wants to say, why did the Rabbanon prohibit ksamim, and so forth and so on, and he's telling you that probably it didn't come migufa, and therefore it could be matir, this case, that case, fine. But he's attaching this to Shmuel. He's trying to embellish and explain why Shmuel holds that in the absence of Hargosha, she is Tahora on a Doraisa level, and the Rabbanon are going to be Machadish a Tuma, which, if not for the Rabbanon, we never would have assumed that she's Tmei. And the answer is because Karov Lomar Lav Migufa. That's what we derive from the absence of Hargosha. And in that sense, the Eshkol really belongs to the same camp as the Tosfos Rid. Again, they're both looking at it from two different angles, but they're saying the same thing. The Tosfos Rid is asking, well, in Shmuel's scenario, she checked. What happened? If she checked, we know it's coming migufa. The answer is, but she doesn't have argosha. In the perspective of the Eshkol, he's not asking about the Bdika. That's not, he's not addressing the question, but it must have come migufa because she made a check beforehand and she sat afterwards, etc., etc. No, he's not going into that. He's talking about the fact that in the absence of argosha, it's karov lomar delav migufa. But that comes down to the Tosfos Rid. He's just saying it in a different nusach. But what the Tosfos Rid says, that why are we questioning the Bedika and its reliability, is because she didn't have argosha. That's what the Sefer Eshkol is spelling out. So what if she didn't have argosha? Therefore you throw out the Bedika and you say it's unreliable. The answer is because we believe that mistama karav lomar delav migufa. And why do we believe it didn't come migufa? Because why didn't she feel argosha? Then in the third Rishon here, he quotes the Or Zeruah, who says, "Achitargish bibsara klomar, shemotza dam bibsara." Ah, motza dam bibsara. He wants to say the following, and this is what we discussed at great length in the Rambam. For those of you who might remember, that if she finds dam on her basar as opposed to a kesem, then we assume it came migufa. And then we're going to, in a sense, bracket or neutralize the fact that she's absent hargosha. Or I would say it in another way, and here I think the Ozaru is really a great chiddush, a scary chiddush. He's saying that you're gonna rack your brains and come up with 50 different possibilities as to how to define hargosha. You know, is argosha that she feels dam min ha-mokar, she feels the psicha of the mokar, she feels the dam, zivas dam, this. No, you know what argosha is? Argosha means that she knows that the dam came migufa. That's exactly what argosha is. Now, when does she know the dam came migufa? If she finds it on her basar. And that's what the Rambam said, chazaka, that it came migufa. But if the dam was not found migufa, then we don't know where the dam came from. So the Mechaber again adds a comment. He says, "Mevush ein tzarich shetargish befoel." According to the Sefer or Zeruah, we don't need an actual argosha. We're not going to go into the different, you know, possibilities of what exactly is dam argosha. And if you don't mind, don't lose the place, please. But if you fast forward to page Reish Nun Tes for a second, the very last paragraph, he says that the Trumas Hadeshin is of the opinion that what's argosha is psichas hamokar. Now, she somehow is aware of the fact that hamokar is open. I find that difficult to swallow. But the Rabbi Yehuda says that zivas dover lach. You know, she feels some liquid coming out of her body. Okay, then? The Rambam says zazua begufa. Somehow her body starts shaking. But then if you take a look on page Reish Samach, he says, Yesh Lomar, and this he's trying to explain various Achronim, the Divrei Chamudos, the Paris Rimonim. This is like a who's list. And the Achronim, and he says, Hargosha, in the second paragraph on Reish Samach, Hu Yediyah B'Yitziyas Adam. She has a Yediyah. In other words, as long as she has the idea, that's called argosha. All these other feelings that her body moves and opens and liquid comes down, none of that is necessary. So getting back again, I hope you didn't lose the place over here. He's saying that ein tzarich shetargish befoel. You don't need any of these various permutations of argosha. Is it this what she feels, that what she feels? Ella shetimtzeinu b'bsara. Once she finds another b'sara, then she knows where it came from. And if she knows where it came from, that itself is considered a hargosha. But the flip side is, what does it mean to say that she has no hargosha? It means she doesn't know where it came from. So everything comes down to the issue of where did the dam come from? And in the absence of hargosha, we believe that the dam, there's a good chance that the dam came from somewhere else, when I say there's a good chance, according to the Sefer Eshkol's formulation, it's Karov Lomar Delav Migufa. The Tosus Rid didn't go that far to say it's Karov Lomar Delav Migufa, because after all, the Tosus Rid is addressing the case where she made a Bdika. And if she made a Bdika, to say it's Karov Lomar Delav Migufa, that's pretty difficult. But rather, according to Tosus Rid, we balance the bdika on the one side of the scale with the fact that she doesn't have argush on the other side of the scale, and what we end up saying is that in all likelihood her bdika was not a valid bdika. And why is that? Because the absence of argush is proof positive that it didn't come migufa. So forget about the bdika.
Well, isn't Sefer Eshkol also referring to cases of bdika? So he's commenting on Shmuel. Shmuel was the one who said that when she checked the ground first, no?
I think even though he has Shmuel in his background, he's asking a slightly different question, and that is, why are we saying that Ksamim is only a Tumah Derabanan? After all, Machaser po b'Ksamim? And his answer is that since she had no argosha, which is our definition of ksamim, he's learning argosha in a physical sense, therefore karav lomar delav migufa, and the whole institution of ksamim is only a tumah derabbana. Yes, it's true that Shmuel goes as far as to say what he says even in the case where she made a bedika. I'm not denying that, but I'm just saying that's not really the thrust of what the Eshkol is saying. His point is that in the absence of Hargosha, we believe it came mina alma. You know, it's karav loma delav migufa. Now ask yourself the question which the Tosfos Rid asked himself, but Shmuel's case is where she made a bdika, so let's rely on the bdika. And the answer is going to have to be that this assumption of karav loma delav migufa is so powerful that it generates a doubt as to whether or not the bdika is reliable. But as I said before, there are different ways of saying the same thing. I'm only bothered by the fact that, you know, the way I was trained in Torah study is that if you have two different Rishonim who say two different things, then they're two different Shitas. So I have to overcome that methodology or that premise that I was brought up with. Here, in this case, even though I don't think there's one word in common here between the Tosfos Rid and the Eshkol, you know, if you did a word search, you know, you wouldn't find any of the words that appear in the Tosfos Rid in the Eshkol, but nevertheless I'm proving to you that they must be saying the same thing. They formulate it differently only because they're asking the question. You know, you answer a question as it's asked. So the Shoel asked one question. The Shoel asked the Tosfos Rid one question, and that was, how can you tell me that it's Lav Migufa when she made a Bedika? The Shoel, in the case of the Eshkol, was asking a different question. Why do you assume that Ksamim were only Derabanan? Why not assume that every Kesem is Damna came Migufa? You know, how can you be so Mekil and call it a Derabanan when you're dealing with an Isa Kares of Nida? So that was the question that the Shoel asked. So when the Shoel asked the question to Tosfos Rid, what about this Bedika? So the answer to Tosfos Rid was, in the absence of Hargosha, I don't believe that the Bedika. When the Shoel asked the Sefer Eshkol, why are you telling me that a Kesem is only Drabanan? Then the answer is going to be that in the absence of Argosha, I believe that Mistama Lav Migufa, what's the language again? Not Mistama, what was it? Karav Lomar, Mistama is my language. Karav Lomar, the Lav Migufa. But at the end of the day, they're both saying essentially the same thing. That despite anything that you would have thought, like the Shoel in the case of the Tosfos Rid, after all, she made a bedika, or after all, in the Shoel of the Eshkol, she finds Dam. Where does Dam come from? It must be Dam Migufa. The answer to both is the same answer, that in the absence of Hargosha, we're persuaded, or we are inclined, I should say, to believe that the Dam didn't come Migufa. The Oz Arua is a little bit different. The Oz Arua is saying that Hargosha means, does she know it came Migufa? And his premise is a little different. You know, the Shoel is asking the Oz Arua, shouldn't I assume that since she found Dam on her Basar, then even if there was no argosha, she should be tmeya. Why is the Torah saying she needs argosha? After all, do you have any doubt that the dam came migufa? And the answer of the Yor Zeruah to his shoel, so to speak, the phantom questioner, is the same as what we've been saying before. That, but with one revolutionary change, that Argosh is not a physical situation, it's a mental situation, meaning intellectually, do I know that she had Dam Mibsara? And the answer is that if she finds that the Dam came from Amokar, and the answer is that it depends where she found the Dam. If she found the Dam on Abasa, the answer is that equals that. That constitutes argosha. Why? Because she knows it came migufa. But in the absence of finding dam on her basar, there's no argosha. Why is there no argosha? Because maybe the dam came mi'al. Now again, I don't know if I might be shooting myself in the foot as a magid shir if I do this, but for my own sanity, the nafkamina is going to be that according to this whole school of Rishonim, and that's what he points out on Rishon and Zion, is what happens in a kesem situation when it's vada higia migufa. You see that? And he's going to come up with a whole complicated hechetimsa. It's like according to the first school of thought, which we'll identify with this Tosfos Rid, he calls it Tosfos Rid v'seyasa because there are other Rishonim who adopt the same definition, is kevan de vada bo migufa tmeya midoraisa. You see those words? No, nobody sees that? No, I just want you to underline, you know, what I think are the highlights here. I did it in my book, but you don't have a copy of my
book. Paragraph Nafkamin?
Nafkamin on page Reish Nun Zayin. So if you count up about 3-4 lines before the end of that paragraph, the first one in the line is Ksamim. Oh, those are the words I want you to underline. Kevan devade ba migufa. Again, what we're skipping is this very complicated scenario, but the upshot of that scenario is that vaday ba migufa.
Even without argosha.
Yeah. Correct? Without argosha. Is then tmeya midoraisa. Because again, argosha is playing a secondary role here according to this first shita. So the Ramban is going to upgrade the status of argosha to like, you know, wow, it's all about argosha. No. These Rishonim are learning that argosha is what generates my suffix that maybe it came min alma, or strengthens my tzad to say that it's lav migufa. Oh, but Lu Yitzur, I come up with a mitzvah in which I know the dam came migufa, then the absence of argosha is meaningless and she becomes tmeya d'oraisa. That's what we're leading to. Again, I let the cat out of the bag. I shouldn't have done that, but. Okay. Now he has a Sidrei Tara. Now I found the Sidrei Tara inside. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just put this Gemara on the side here so I can manipulate here. And the Sidrei Tara is on page Tuf Tzadi Hei, because as I told you, to navigate through the Sidrei Tara is like, it's like, you know, fishing for a needle at the bottom of the sea or something. And so just on Siman Kuf Tzadi, he's got like 100 pages. Anyway, he writes the following. He says, I want to answer a question that I asked earlier in the same siman. The lama sasma poskim letayer haksamim afilu shemotzo achar tashmish o achar atolas meira glayim. The poskim are very, you know, unqualified. They omit any qualification. They just say in one swoop, you know, in one gulp, they say that if she found dam after tashmish, we could be mitayer her. If she found dam after atolos meira glayim, we could be mitayer her. If we found dam on a dovashena makabel tuma, we could be mitayer her. Oh, al gabi beget savua. You know, the rabbi corrected me last time that beget savua is not an issue of kabbalas tuma. I made that mistake. I stand corrected. But beget savua is an assumption that there are so many different colors that maybe we're not really seeing dam. He says, I don't understand. Ha'ika speke d'oraisa. In all these cases, I can raise a real bona fide suffix d'oraisa. Says the Sidrei Tara. The Dilma Argisha. there are so many different ways of explaining why she didn't have this hargosha when she really did have the hargosha, meaning why she thinks she didn't have hargosha. In the case of Tashma Shamita, in all these other cases, Meir Aglaim, you know, she confused herself, as the Gemara says. Why did the Poskim just accept this, you know, lock, stock, and barrel without any qualification? He says, Nicha, I have an answer. The afilu below time of the hargosha, haksomim tahorim min haTorah. He's saying the following: forget about hargosha. Leave bracket that. I have another reason why the haksomim tahorim min haTorah. Kevan deikol mitli mi alma asu. If we have some sort of, you know, push or proof, it doesn't have to be a total proof, but a strong proof to say that the dam came mi'alma, then the Torah would be metayerha, which I think means, he doesn't spell this out, but it's a cheskes tara. You know, you want to be metami, a woman, and change her status. It's a motzi mechavel of a raya. Until we have a raya to the contrary, we assume she's tahora. And since in all these cases of ksamim, the four cases that he mentioned here in the name of the poskim, we have reason to believe that at least perhaps the dam came mi'alma, let's leave her b'cheskas tahara. But if you take the logic of the Sidrei Tara and you attach it to the Tosis Rid and the like, basically what we're saying is that, you know, we have all sorts of situations in which we believe that the dam did not come migufa. And that's what Shmuel is saying, according to Tosis Rid, which again I'm resisting, but the Tosis Rid is saying that what lies at the heart of Shmuel is the absence of Hargosha proves that the dam came mi'al. But certainly that's what the Sidrei Tara is pushing for, that maybe the dam came mi'al. He has here a summary of the Sidrei Tara, but he left out some of it. He's got here, number one, is Tolem es hakesem b'maka. That was the case of Rabbi Akiva, if you remember, where he kept investigating this woman, that maybe the, you know, even though she has a scab, but maybe it's still active and it would bleed if it was rubbed and irritated. He's got number two, if she finds the dam on a Dovashayim Makabal Tuma, and number three, if she finds dam on Big Day Tzivon. Okay, he left out for some reason. The Sidrei Tara embellishes this with dam Bliachar Tashmish, with Hatolos Meir Aglaim, that he left out. Okay, fine. And he says the following, that the Sidrei Tara wants to establish that in all these cases we can be Mekil. And the reason for that is because we think the dam may have come me'alma, even though there is a chashash, maybe she did have hargosha. So on the level of hargosha per se, as some sort of xeris hakosa that she has to have hargosha, we would say maybe she did have hargosha. But there are all sorts of indications that allow me to believe that maybe the dam came from elsewhere, and therefore she's tahora. Now, what we want to do at this point is embellish and analyze the sheet of the Tosus Rid. And that's here on page Resh Nun He. And he says the following: what is the significance of Ema, shall we say, Shema, perhaps, Hadam Higia Mi'alma? What's the significance of that? Or in the language of the Sefer Eshkol, Karav Loma Delav Migufa. He says the following: it seems that when we look at Rov, and we ask ourselves, does the Rov tell me A or B? Does it tell me that this dam came me gufo or the dam came me alma? The answer is that the Rov tells me that the dam came me alma. Now, we have a principle called Karov. Now, the Karov is also a circumstantial evidence like Rov. After all, Rov can't tell me exactly what happened in this case, but I assume it came from the Rov. So too there's Halach of Karov. And Karov also tells me that it came from Karov. Just to give one example, in Bava Basra, let's say you own a Shovach, and I find a bird that's flying around. Now, most of the birds that are flying around come from other coops, not from your coop, so I don't have to return it to you, which means basically I can keep it for myself. But on the other hand, against that rove, there's a karov, that since I found this bird flying around your shovach, then that seems to indicate that it came minat karov. And the Gemara wants to assume that karov is stronger than rove. In the case of Egla Rufa, the Torah says that the Ziknei Ha'ir will bring down the Ziknei Ha'ir of the closest city will go down to the Nachal Eson for the whole ritual. It seems that karov is supreme. But the Gemara at the end proves that that's not so, that it's not a case where there's rove against karov. And in fact, if there's rove against karov, we rely on rove and not on karov. Here too, the karov, the fact that, you know, there may be a lot of dam out there, doesn't really tell me anything about the dam that she found on a kesem, because that's karov. And the kesem is close to her makar, and therefore we assume it came from the makar. But the answer is, since the final maskana of the sugim bav basruch of gimel is that rov karov rov adif, therefore we go back to the premise that, to use the Eshkol's term, is, again I keep forgetting the Eshkol's term, so I'll just underline it, that karov lomar lav migufa. Don't confuse the word karov in the Eshkol with the word karov as opposed to rov karov. What he means is that it's more logical to assume lav migufa, and the Mauritius Moshe, for one, wants to insist that that's because of rov. That rov dam is mi'alma. I think you have to add to this the Cheskas Tahara, which will come up later in his discussion. So if you combine the Cheskas Tahara plus the rov dam mi'alma, then you're going to be mitayr. And if you want to, you could add to that the fact that there's a reisa here in the karov. And what's the reisa in the karov? Why didn't she feel a hargosh? Well, now he goes back to the Gemara that we quoted earlier about Isha Shahisa Osa Tzrachea Verasa Dam. Now, in that case, the dam came migufa. It didn't come me alma. The only suffix is, could it be that she had a maka begufa? Do you remember that discussion? With the dam going up and going down, the meraglayim, and she's sitting and she's standing. The issue there was perhaps the dam came in maka, but it definitely came begufa. Sounds a little bit different than what we've been talking about now. Meaning, if the Gemara wants to bring a tzad here to be matayr in the case of Osa Tzrachea, this is not the same as what we've been discussing before about Rov Dam Min Olam. This is not Rov Dam Min Olam. I mean, the Dam definitely came from her body. The question is, why? Was it Dam Nidus? Was it Dam in Amaka? Or take, for example, the case where she does the Bedik immediately after Tashmish. In that case, if it was immediately after Tashmish, we know the dam was there during Tashmish, and they have to bring both of them a Karban Chatas. But if it came later, then we're not sure. Maybe the dam came out Liachar Tashmish, and during Tashmish there was no dam there. So again, this is a whole different discussion than what we had until now. We're not discussing that maybe this dam Machmas Tashmish came from another source. We know where it came from, we just don't know when it came. So that's one problem that he raises here. Then he raises another problem, because you remember the Gemara of Shammai that we discussed, back on Daf Gimel. The Gemara wants to say that Shammai is the one who says that when a woman finds dam, she's only Tmeh Mikan Ulahab. There's no din of me, the Eis Leis, Mepkidul, Pidul, Mafreya. So Amar Abaye, maybe according to Shmuel, we should do away with the entire institution of Kesamim. And Abaye says, well, you're right that that my timer, he says, to find Modesh Shammai B'Kesamim. Shammai admits in the case of Kesamim that she would be Tmeah. So Shammai does dip into the enterprise of Ksav as a Tumid Rabbanon, my timer. And the answer is Bitsipra Lonis Aska, Bishuk Shal Tabach Loav, Rahai Da Mehechi Asi. You know, the premise of the Gemara is that we're not going to assume that the dam came mi'alma. If she went through a shuk shal tabachim, nicha. If she was osekes bedam, nicha. But in the absence of those, the Gemara claims we know where the dam came from. What do you mean we know where the dam came from? You just finished telling me that the reason why there's no tumah d'oraisa in the case of dam below argosh is because the dam came from the rov mi'alma. And Rov Akarav is Rov Adif. But the Gemara says the opposite, that if unless there's a specific reason to assume and attribute the Dam to the Alma, whether it's this or that, then Dam Mehechi Kaasi, the Dam came Migufa. So in the language of this Machaber, he writes, Mevuar, you see from the Sugyan Daf Gimel, that Ein Chashash Shema Dam Higia Mealma. If she did not expose herself to Dam, that's Minashuk and all that, then we don't assume the Dam came the Alma. Aye, maybe you're going to tell me that she had Argosha, which is the crazy places position, but that's Rachok. So again, the upshot of all this discussion is that Muchach, that even in a case where we don't have Rov Dam in the Alma, we're still going to assume that the Dam didn't come in Gufa. So that it's not enough just to assume that according to all these Rishonim, there's a rove that tells you the Dam came the Alma. Because if that rove is the only reason why she's not Tmeya Doraisa, then there are any number of cases where we believe that the Dam came Migufa, and yet she's still Tahora. And why is that so? We know it didn't come the Alma. For example, she did a bedikah after Tashmish, and we don't know if she saw the dam during Tashmish or not during Tashmish. We're going to be mitayer her, even though we know the dam came migufa, not mi'alma. In the case of Osa Tzorchel, and she saw dam, we know the dam came migufa. In a case where she did not go through Shuk Shal Tabochim, then Abai says that we know it didn't come from mi'alma. And yet in all these cases, we're being mitayer. So don't just tell me superficially, the Rov tells me Rov Domim is Mi'alma. That in the volume of Dam out there in the Welt, most of the volume comes Mi'alma, not Migufa. Muchach, he says, Gam b'mokum she'ein Rov Domim Mi'alma chayshinon Shema Adam lo ba Migufa, which is an appropriate language for the case of Shuk Shel Tabachim, that she didn't go through Shuk Shel Tabachim, but nevertheless, we still raise the question that Dam didn't come Migufa. So what we have to do here is we have to add another variable into the equation, and that is Cheskas Tahara. No, but wait a second. Cheskas Tahara is not stronger than a Rove. So until now we've been assuming the Rove is Latahir because it comes Mi'alma. Now we have all these cases where the Dam came Migufa, and on the contrary, the rove that the dam came migufa, that should undermine the chazaka that she had a cheskas tahara, because ruba v'chazaka ruba adif. In other words, rove is stronger not only than karov, but it's also stronger than chazaka. See, he says that Shmuel darshins from the pasuk b'bsara requiring dam behargosha, that after mitzad asvara ain tzarch lochush midoraisa shema hadam higia mi'alma, certainly the rove tells me that the dam came migufa and not mi'alma, but chidsha Torah, this is the Torah's chidish, that we have to assume that maybe the dam came mi'alma despite that rove. And why is that? Nischadish ta'atzad shahadam higia mi'alma Yotzer Safei. So what we have here is Rov Domim Higia Migufa in this case. But on the other hand, she didn't have Argosha. So that weakens the Rov. After we weaken the Rov, we don't know really 50-50 where the Dam came from. Maybe it came Mi'alma, maybe it came Migufa. And even if all indications of Rov seem to tell me that it came Migufa, but nevertheless she didn't have Argosha. If she didn't have Argosha, that indicates that the Dam came from elsewhere, not Migufa. So what we do is, when we churn this all out, what we end up with is a 50-50 suffix. And if it's a 50-50 suffix, the Torah says that you cannot remove a person from his or her chazaka based on suffix. Her chazaka is that of tahora. And when you end up with a suffix, you can't be mafkia, her status, which is due to her chazaka, as a tahora. And that's why all of Ksamim is only derabbanan. So again, I think we've gone through a lot of somersaults in the air here. You know, the loopholes here and loopholes there. We started with the assumption that maybe, according to this school of thought in Shmuel, the basis for Dan Balor Gosha being Torah Midaraisa is Ruba di Alma. That is, if Rove of Domim are coming the Alma. And even though she has a Karov, but Rove is stronger than Karov. And that's why she's Tahora Midaraisa. But we came full swing because we did a couple of Tiulim over here, which we looked at this and looked at that, and from various sugyas, we see clearly that even if there's all the indication in the world that the Dam came be Gufa, nevertheless she's not Tmeya Midaraisa. And now you just finished telling me that according to Shmuel, we believe that the Dam came be Alma, but these are cases where let's not be naive, the Dam did not come be Alma. It came from in the case of Mary Glam, it came me Gufa. In the case of Tashmish, it came me Gufa. In the discussion of Abai and Shammai, what are you going to tell me? It came from here, it came from there. She wasn't exposed to those domain. So at this point, he backtracks a little and he says, forget about Rov Dam Me Alma or Karav Loma Delab Me Gufa. That's not going to do it. We're going to have to add to the fact that Karav Loma Delab Me Gufa is generated by Hachazok. And even though the indications are that the Dam came be Gufa, Michal Safek Lo Yotza. And if it's Lo Yotza Michal Safek, then we add to on Hot's side of the equation, the Torah side of the equation, the Cheskas Tahara, and we say in the case of Safek, you can't be Mafkia Hacheskas Tahara. Now, the premise of the Tosfos Rid is that in the absence of Argosha, we believe that the Dam came Me'al. Why is that so? So in a beautiful piece of research here, he has three shitas in the Achronim. He starts with the Rav Shulchan Aruch of the Alter Rebbe, and he says the following. Why is the Torah Choshesh for Dam Me'alma? And the answer is, the Ikal of Meimar, that even though she doesn't recall having any preoccupation with ksamim that have blood in them and so forth and so on, but nevertheless it could be that she did.
Even if she didn't go shukshel tabachim, she wasn't involved with birds. Or...
Right, that's what it sounds like, because lava daite, again, we once said this far with regard to a ketana, that lava daite, the Rav Shulchan Aruch is applying this even for a gdola. And then he says, that's not going to do it for us, meaning there's not enough push or evidence pointing in the direction to Dam Mi Alma, that itself would allow me in an Isid or Raisa to be Matir. But we're going to have to add another song. And this really brings us back to the Kesef Mishnah. I'm surprised he doesn't quote the Kesef Mishnah. We had a long discussion, more than once. The Kesef Mishnah, the beginning of Perek Tesvil, says that every case of a Kesem is really, in effect, a Sfex Faker. Because the Rambam introduces another suffix here, that maybe the Dam is Min Aliyah.
Well, that's what I was trying to ask you 2 days ago, but I wasn't very successful. But when we kept saying that when the blood is on it's Bibsara as opposed to on a Beged, then there's, the Rambam says there's no minimum shear because I'm not going to say Kibbutz and Chris because I know it came from the Makar. So why did it come from the Makar? Did it come from the Aliyah?
Right.
I don't understand how you keep.
Again, we're gonna have to assume that Dam Min Aliyah is not really a bona fide suffix. It's only enough for suffix to add to another suffix.
Yeah, it's unusual.
Right. But be that as it may, the Rav Shulchan Aruch is going with this approach.
Why is it so? Why is it Tamid Mir Rabbanim if you have a space maker?
Why what?
Why would it be Tamid Mir Rabbanim if you have a space maker, according to the Shulchan Aruch?
Excellent. And that's going to be the kasha on the Sfex Faker, which is the kasha of the Kesef Mishnah. We're really stuck here. He says that we're giving Mitzarev two things together. What do we have here? We have Deshema Neshaska Viksamim Vim Titzalom Migufa Sheva Min Aliyahu. That's the language of the Rav Shulchan Aruch. So again, first of all, we don't know whether it's Migufa or not, because maybe she was this, that, or the other thing. You know, Shuk Shal Tabachim Neshaska Viksamim V'Lavadayte. And number two, even if you'll tell me that it came Migufa, but you don't know if it came in Ha Min HaCheder or Min HaAliyah. And then he goes on and on. And then he writes, V'hocha de'ikol emeim me'alma asa, shahar be'damim mitzuyim ba'olam. In other words, in terms of the volume of blood out there, most of it came me'alma. Is l'kuli alma lo azlinim basaruba. In this case, everybody agrees that we would not rely on that rove of Dam Mitsuyim B'Alma. Just one second, I lost my place. Yeah, here it is. Lo Aslin and Basar Ruba, Ruba de Maka. Ruba de Maka, Ruba de Lo Aslin and Basar Ruba de Maka. Kineged chazok v'amirin hamid isha al cheskos v'aydam me'alma osi. I must have missed something here in the middle. Just one second. Havikin v'amirin me'alma osa shaharbi dam mitzui ba'olam kuyam lo azlinan basar ruba. Oh, I see. He's talking about a situation in which all the indications seem to indicate that the dam came migufa, and the shema nisaska v'ksamim v'lavadaite really is yesh liyashi v'dochak is really
far-fetched.
Excellent, far-fetched. Oh, but he says, nevertheless, even if it's far-fetched, it still presents a mute. That, you know, she doesn't remember that she had some sort of hisaskus b'ksamim. Add to that, that the possibility that the dam came min aliyah. So it seems to me, again, I'm not sure if I'm right here, that the Rav Shulchan Aruch is saying that from a statistical perspective, this dam probably came migufa. But what we're going to do is we're going to piece together various mi'utim. You know, there's a miut that maybe she was exposed to this dam, the lavadaita. There's another miut that says maybe came from the aliyah. None of these miutim really amount to much. But what they're able to do is create a miut. And once you create a miut, that miut puts the rove into a precarious situation. It's not a totally reliable rove. Oh, so what's going to be the final machria here? And that's going to be the cheskas tara. That if you have a rove, and connected to that rove you have a miut, and that miut is comprised of two different possibilities, both of which are very unlikely, and as Alan calls it, far-fetched, but nevertheless, they do amount to creating a rove, and putting a serious question mark on the viability, the reliability of the rove, then I can introduce the chazaka in a different way. It's no longer ruva v'chazaka ruva adif, but now the chazaka is going to gang up and join hands with the miut, because again, there's a strong miut that put a race on the rove, and that's going to topple and trump the rove. Let's see if we can read that into his language here. He says, "Hachad ikal emeim me alma asi asa shahar beidamim mutsuyin ba'olam." Okay, so he's not saying that har beidam mutsuyin ba'olam creates a rove. That is impossible, because he's talking about cases where all the indications lead us to the conclusion that it came migufa. But he says in this case, the kuliyama lozlin in basar ruba dimakar, meaning the rov here supports that this is dominant makar. Kineged chazaka v'yamrin and havid ishal cheskasa v'hai dam mi'almas. Even though hai dam mi'almas is a mute, but nevertheless the chazaka compels us to go down that very narrow path of the mute. That's the language of the Rav Shulchan Aruch. Let's just see how the author here summarizes the position of the Rav Shulchan Aruch. He says, "Mevuar sheyeshna svar linkol chadam higia mealma." Again, when he says yeshna svar, I think he means a mute. You know, it's a little bit of a possibility if we have to find a, you know, bedochak, some place to hang our hat. So we found a little peg somewhere. Kevon sheefshal itzarvis a mute el shel dmei aliyah. So again, I think he's, I don't know if this is what he's saying, it's not fair for me to put words into his mouth, but what I would say is, and I hope that's what he's saying, is that you put together this mute with that mute, and when you turn it all out, it's mamidim es ha'isha v'chezkos. So then you have to know the rules that govern mute and chazaka, and what happens if there's more than one mute, does that undermine the rov? Or at least does it weaken the rov to the point to which we would still say mamidim al chezkos. So that's going to be approach number one as to what happens in the absence of hargosha. If she had hargosha, then there's no possibility of raising the suffix that maybe came down mi alma, because we know that she had dam min amokar and she had hargosha. That's undeniable, unquestionable. But once we absent hargosha, and we open up the possibility of dam mi alma, even if the cards are stacked against that assumption that the dam came mi alma, but rather in favor of the dam mi gufa, but nevertheless, if we have a miut here and a miut there, we can attach that miut with that miut, weaken the rov, and then strengthen the chazok. Okay, that's number one. Now we turn to page Reish Nun Vav. The second approach is that of the Sidrei Tara, and more importantly, of the Binas Adam. And I was very excited here when I saw this, because we spent a lot of time working through the Binas Adam. And the Binas Adam has another way of understanding why a woman is not Tmea in the absence of Hargosha, according to Shmuel, on a Daraisa level. And the answer is the Torah requires Vadai. And in the absence of Hargosha, you cannot, no matter what you do, stand on your head, produce a Vadai. And this is a subcategory of what we call Mamzer Suffolk. That's like the name of the category. It's a conceptual category. Suffolk Mamzer goes way beyond the confines of Suffolk Mamzer. Suffolk Mamzer is a catchphrase, a code word, for any case where the Torah says Suffolk Lekula. Let's say, for example, if the Rambam Shita is that in general Suffolk Dereis Lechumra, there's going to be X number of cases where the Torah says Lekula. For example, Olas Chutzlaretz, which is Doraisa, it's Halacha Moshe Misina, is Mutar B'Safek. Here we have another case. We have the classical case, of course, of Mamzer, that a Safek Mamzer is allowed to marry the Kol. The Torah wants Vadei, not a Safek. That's the exception to the rule to Safek Lechum. And now we have another case, and that is Nida. If there's a bona fide Safek, then we're going to say that the Torah is not going to apply the principle of Safek Lechumra, but rather Safek Lekula, and she's Tahura. And what's that case? That's the case of a Nida who saw Adam, but there was no what? There was no Argosh. In the absence of Argosh, we end up with a Safek. And again, there are various ways of being machria that Safek through circumstantial evidence, and assuming that there may be a rove against the Safek. But nevertheless, it's still lo yotze mechlal Safek. Notice, you can apply various yardsticks of circumstantial evidence, each of which might be powerful in and of themselves, but at the end of the day, you're still left with a Safek. And if you're left with a Safek, it's gzeres ha-kosevi, the be'inon she'yia dover mevurar. It's got to be that this dam that she saw is definitely being metameher, but for lobis Safek. But if she doesn't...
No.
Sorry, what?
I didn't understand that you said it. Right?
Well, I don't know what I said, but what I meant to say was in the absence of Argosha,
has to be absolutely
Vadai, that this is Dam and Amokar. Right. And since according to everything that we've seen here and what I call the Tosis Rid, is that it's not Vadai, right. The Torah says that she's not Tomei even with Torah Sofer. Because the Torah says that you need a Vadai. There's nothing less than a Vadai. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, I think that's what you mean.
You got 3 hours, I got four. So I'm not lagging behind you much. So that's called Mamzer Vaday Velo Mamzer Sofek. Okay. Now, the fascinating thing about the Binas Adam is that he introduces a variable into the equation here that really belongs to the Ramban school of thought, namely the terminology, the concept Gzeiras HaKosov. That concept really is monopolized by the Ramban, and it really reveals the whole essence of the Ramban sheet that we'll see in just a minute. And yet he's placing it within the context of the Tosis Rid. Meaning, we're asking why, according to Tosis Rid, the Torah requires Hargosh, and in the absence thereof, we assume that maybe the Dam came the Alma. So we said, in the name of the Rav Shulchan Aruch, that there still is an existing Miut, even if the indications and the circumstantial evidence point in favor of Dam Min Migufa, but nevertheless, it's still a Suffolk. It might be this, Dam Min Aliyah, it might be that she didn't realize she went through this. And that's enough to link up with the chazakah and smoke miut of a chazakah, and there's a reis on the rope. That operates without any gzeiras hakosav. Those are logical principles that we've seen all over the Shas. But the Binas Adam is introducing another variable into the equation, and that is gzeiras hakosav, that the Torah says, okay, you have all sorts of indications that the dam came migufa, but you're not in a state of vadai. And what clinches a vadai? What crosses me over the bridge from all these sveikas to vadai, hargosha. And without that hargosha, we're left with suffering. And although we would be machriya that suffering through many indications, it doesn't matter. It still remains a suffering. We don't have a vadai. And the upshot of that is mamzer vadai velo mamzer suffering. Now again, you know, it's a tall order to put this into the words of Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Bibsara achitagish bibsara." Then now we're saying achitagish bibsara because otherwise moms are bad, follow moms are suffering. It's a little bit of a stretch. Now, before we get to the third approach in Shmuel, I wanted to mention to you a shtickle Torah here of the Pardes Rimon. I can't tell you who he is. If you can research that, that's fine. But he has a kasha. The Gemara on Daf Yedalet on the Beis says that there's a concept called Asham Talui with regard to a Nida. So for example, in a case where he had beer with her, and then there was a Bedika and she found Dam after Tashmish, he would have to bring an Asham Talui. Again, you have to know the situations and the Habaminas and the Gemara and the Maskonis, but one thing the Gemara never questions is that the Parsha of Asham Toli applies to Nida. Now, Asham Toli, by definition, is what? It's a Suffolk. You just finished telling me that there's no such thing as a Suffolk. The Torah doesn't recognize Suffolk Nida. It's a bomb, Kash. I was kicking myself, like, why didn't I ask this question? We did this Sugya on Daf Yudal. He says, V'tzarech loma de'ein zeh din klali Shatorlo Asra Safek Nida Kamoba Mamzer. It's not exactly a case in point or an application of the general rule of Mamzer valuable Elizeu Din Shenemar Biyachas L Safek Haim Hadam Higia Mi Alma O Migufa. The Bechaigav Nolo Asra Toradam Shainam Avurshi Gia Migufa. I think we discussed this far once, but not when we talk about Shmuel, but when we talk about Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva's first question is, where did this dam come from? And if we don't know the answer to that question, because maybe she had a maka, etc., etc., then the Torah never prohibited a suffix in this quiz. When she makes this bedika after Tashmish, she finds dam. We don't know if the dam was there at the time of Tashmish. That is a bona fide suffix nida. Because again, here we have no question that the dam came migufa. The only question is, when did the dam come out of the makar? Before or after Tashmish? I shouldn't say before, I should say during or after Tashmish. And that's called the Asham Toli. So this Paradis Rimonim is within the context of the Binus Adam, is a pretty radical reinterpretation. We thought that the Torah doesn't ask her a suffix nida. The Paris Rimonim proves beyond the shadow of doubt that that's an incorrect premise. The Torah definitely prohibits a Suffolk Nida as far as Hashem told me. But if the Suffolk is whether there's Dam Nida, meaning whether the Dam came from the Makar, that Dam is not Metame. We must start with a Vados that the Dam came Min HaMakar. Any Suffolk thereof will reduce us to, at the worst case scenario, the Rabbana, but certainly not a Tuba Doraisa, nor Vaz. What if the Dam came Migufa and this guy doesn't know? I'll give you an example. There are two women. One is a neither, one is not. He doesn't remember which one he had beer with. Okay, and everybody else is comatose. I don't know what. So he'll bring a carbon. He'll bring a carbon asham. An asham tolid. Why? I mamzer vade below mamzer sof. The answer is there's a vade mamzer here, vade neither here. It's just he doesn't know if he had beer with the vade neither. So that doesn't uproot us from the parsha of asham tolui. And the same thing applies in a case where did she have dam during the tashmish or not? Basically, he's asking himself, did he have beer with a nida? She's a nida, you know. That's not an issue. Because even if the dam came out after tashmish, she's a nida. That's not an issue. She's a nida vaday. Question is, was he baal nida vaday? That I don't know. Let him bring an asham tol. But if you don't know if she's a nida, then the Torah says she's not a nida. When in doubt, leave it out. Now we come with the Chasam Sof. And he has a third approach. And this is what I said at the outset. Why is it that she didn't have Argosha? That's what the Torah is yelling and screaming. Hadachai Shin and Shem Adam Igia Mi Alma. It's not the way we saw in the Rav Shulchanot that it's a small mute of a possibility that maybe the Dam Higia Mi Alma. But rather, it has nothing to do with Dami Alma, really. It has to do with the fact that Ika Chazaka, she yitzias dam nidus ba al yidei hargosh. That as a general rule, if this was in fact dam nidus, she would have felt hargosh.
You're saying that just a Chazaka? That's not a definition.
Correct.
It's a Chazaka.
It's not Xeris HaKosev, it's a Gili Milson. The Torah's Megalami is some sort of halachic principle that in a case where she doesn't have argosha, then what are you telling me? The dam came migufa. Im haya dam migufa, haysa tzricha argosha. So it comes out here, if we wind up the sheet, is that the first and the third, which we can call the Rav Shulchan Aruch, and the third would be the Chasam Sofer, from the same family, right? They all came to the conclusion that there's no element of gzeres hakosef here in argosha. But that we're operating within the universal principles that apply to Achros HaSfekis and Kol Torah Kula. According to the Rav Shulchan Aruch, we have a miud here and a miud here, and that gangs up and joins forces against the Rov, and then we're left with the Chazaka. According to the Chasam Sofer, what we have is a Chazaka that if in fact the Dam came Migufa, why didn't she feel a hargosha? Meaning that this chazaka, the dam that comes min hamakar and is metamia, comes with hargosha. In the absence of hargosha, we have to assume that this is dam mi'alma. The middle shita, which is that of the Binas Adam that we made such a big deal about, is that even according to this school of thought in Shmuel, the Tosfos Rit and so forth, we're operating with gzeiras hakosef. We're not operating with any universal principles that always apply in Hachra, but we are using one of those principles, and that's called Mamzer Vadei Velo Mamzer Sofek. And the Torah says, until you know for sure that this Dam came Migufa, then it's not Matam. Now we get to the Ramban. The Ramban says that Ksomim Derabbanan Heim Vafilu Biyadu Hashem Migufa Chazoi Dvar Torah Tahor. In order to justify Ksamim as only a Drabbanan and not a Doraisa, you don't have to introduce all these fakers and maybe she the Dam came Alma. I'll grant you the Dam came Migufa. And for Desvegan, she's Tahor. Why? It's Xeris HaKosef. And after quoting this long piece from the Rashba, who more or less reiterates what he saw. What we saw in the Ramban, the Rashba is a Talmud of a Talmud of the Ramban. He writes here the Moreshes Moshe Mavua Shegam Dam Shegiya Bevados Migufa Eino Metami Belar Gosha. Period. And personally, I feel very comfortable in the company of the Ramban, because we created this very sophisticated structure of two different drashos, Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva respectively, addressing two different issues, Shmuel addressing the issue of Hargosha, and the Dam came Migufa. Rabbi Akiva addressing the issue of where did this Dam come from? Did it come Migufa, did it not? In the framework of Shmuel, I'd like to say that I grant you that it came Migufa. After all, Shmuel said she checked the karka. No, says Tosfot, she didn't do a good bedika. So again, the fact that Berzon didn't do a good bedikas chametz on Tavshin Ayin Zayin has nothing to do with the fact that a woman checks the ground and Rabbi Shalom, there's no dam on the ground. It wasn't that she was checking seven rooms in a house, you know, looking for a piece of chametz. Why not rely on that bedika? So the Tosfos Rid puts me in a very uncomfortable situation. The Ramban is saying, nay, she did a perfectly good bedika, but Shmuel is saying there's a new gzeres hakosvi of Hargosha. And without our gush, the Torah wasn't mitamim. Now, is there some rationale to that gzeres hakosuv? That we'll see soon. But first, we want to enjoy the nafkamina between the two approaches. And that is the following scenario, which is in the paragraph nafkamina on page Reishon and Zion. What happens is, she finds what's called a kesem shalecha levana. Okay, lecha, I would assume, which literally means a liquid, a white liquid, is a discharge of some sort. Very common. Mamish Maisim B'chol Yom. And what happens is that there's a certain amount of dam, we'll call it a tipas dam, inside this lecha. Okay, but we know where the lecha came out of. This lecha did not come from the moon. It didn't come from a shuk shel tabachim. You know, shuk shel tabachim has no lecha. And the dam is completely enveloped by the lecha levana. So we know that the dam came out in a package from the same place that the lecha came out of. Namely, min ha-makar. It's vare min ha-makar. Oh, the problem is she didn't have argosha. Why didn't she have Argosh? I'll give you a very logical reason why she didn't have Argosh. Because what she felt was that this lecha coming out. Well, maybe she felt nothing. Well, if we go with the Tosfos Rid, the absence of Argosh indicates that the dam came the alma. That's not going to cut the mustard here. Not going to cut the lecha. But if, on the other hand, you go with the Ramban, that there's a gzeres hakosev, if it's not dam by Argosh, it's not dam tmeya, then she's Tahora on a Doraisa. Now, in the next paragraph, he's going to show that there's a stira between two Tosfos in as to whether Tosfos belongs to the school of thought of Tosfos Rid or to the Ramban. But before we get to that, I'd like to.
This is Shimresh, in the third from the bottom line of that paragraph. Mashenkin le Shimresh, Gan Vadibon.
Shari Shona, maybe? I don't see it, but.
Yeah.
Does it work?
Would it work better if we said the Ramban? Because that's how you explain the Ramban, but I don't know who should.
Yeah, I assume he means the Ramban and all those who agree with the Ramban. He has, again, we skipped a few paragraphs here for brevity's sake, but he has a whole bunch of sources to support the Ramban. So if it works, then leave it at that. But again, I just want to get my brain oriented here. Where does he... Just 1 second, where is he? Oh, here it is, okay. So now, Rabosai, we're on the top of page Reish Nun Zion, the paragraph that starts with Biur. You have that? Yeah. And he offers two explanations as to what this Gzeres HaKosev is all about. Now, Rabosai, what you're seeing in this paragraph, in my humble opinion, is what I call a drasha before Musa. Now, I give drushes for Moses, so I shouldn't really be so cynical about it. But what I mean to say is, this is all speculation. Meaning, once the Ramban says it's a gzeres hakosev, period. Geendik demaisa. You want to rack your brains and try to come up with some rationale, that's a very... I'll give you a medal for that. But it's not... So he first quotes a long list of Achronim who say that there's something called Shalom Kedarka. Do you remember this, Rabbosai? We mentioned this months ago when we first saw this. that in universal terms of halacha, there's something called kedarka and shalok kedarka. Classical case would be a macholos asuras. So if you eat something shalok kedarka, you're not chayef on a Torah level. Or if you have hanoa shalok kedarka. The Torah recognizes that which is usual and not that which is unusual. What that really means is that there's nothing in the world that's missing here from har dam. This is dam nida in the classical sense. What's the gzeres hakosuv? The gzeres hakosuv is that there's some dam that came out of her body in an unusual way. It reminds me, again, I'm not meaning to equate it with those who say that these little algae or so that grow in fish and then they're not kosher. We're allowed to eat the fish because it's not visible to the naked eye. You know what I'm talking about? I think Rav Shechter has a whole discussion about this in his book, one of his books. That mashal onikel ha'ayin is not awesome. I mean, we know it's awesome, but it's not awesome. Why isn't it awesome? Because we can't see it. Here also, we know it's dam nida. There's no question about it. You know, take it to a lab, or you can take a video of it. Now they have cameras that go into the body. This is dam nida. But it came out in an unusual way, and the Torah doesn't recognize that which is unusual. That's the gzeres hakosuv.
Who determines what's usual?
Well, again, that's the drasha. You have to have a drasha in the pasuk. If you don't have, this is only post facto, meaning this is what we call in football Monday morning quarterbacking. Meaning, once I have the gzeres hakosuv and I learn it from the pasuk b'psara, now kegzogin, you know, vasichvil. You know, I can say whatever I want to say. So I'm going to tell you why did the Torah say that this dam without argosha is not metamia? Because the Torah considers this an unusual yitzias adam. Okay, as I said, this is a nice drasha for a rabbi before, except no one in the audience will like that drasha because they're not interested in dam below argosha. That doesn't really speak to them. But we here are interested in it because We still have those who appreciate this lima. I have one person who decided he's not going to come to the shiur because he feels it's not practical for him or something. I don't know. In any event, now he quotes a second approach to the Shev Yaakov, and he writes that ha'isha lo titame b'lo yedia. This is what I call a gzera d'rabbanan. But it's very rare that a gzeirah d'rabbanan should apply on a d'oraisa level. And when it does, it's usually l'chumra. For example, maybe the Torah, again, if somebody said this in the Rav Shir, he'd probably get thrown out, but maybe the Torah prohibited owning chametz by Yerobai Matzah because you might come to eat it. And the Torah itself made a gzeirah. But again, it's l'chumra. You know, the Torah says, thou shalt now touch a woman who's in need because you might come to have beer with her. You know, but again, that's only l'chumra. He's saying, a d'rabbana l'kula. What's d'rabbana l'kula? That if the Torah would establish that any woman who had dam, min ha-mokar, is t'meya, terrible things are going to happen. Why? Because she didn't have any argosha. She doesn't even know that she had dam. And she's going to go ahead and have relations with her husband, unbeknown to us, she's a nida. So the Torah said she's not a nida. It's not bad, again, for a drasha. I would, if he was applying as a rav, you know, for a job as a rav in a shul, I would give him points for this. But it's all speculation. So let's see it inside. He says, HaTorah timo adam bebeis achitzon. Heaven forbid she has no knowledge of the fact that she became Tmeya. And really she's already Tmeya in the Beis Achitzon. Higbila Torah v'yomra shedam ze eino tome. Why? Because she didn't have argosha. She needs some signal that comes from her body. Hey, my friend, you are a nida. If she doesn't get that signal, you know, it's going to be a churban. Because she doesn't even know she's a nida. Okay, fine. Now we get to the stira in Shita Santosis. And I'm going to summarize this because we don't have that much time. And this section really needs a lot of work. I'm not sure that all the diukim in Tosis here are oiskahalten, are 100% convincing. But he has a diuk in two different Tosis, from two different parts of the Sechta Nida, and they lead to two different conclusions in this very machlok between the Tosis Rid and the Ramban. first, he has a Tosus on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis, which seems to indicate that the requirement, the precondition of Hargasha, is Egzer Sakosif. And the one who analyzes this is the Binas Adam. What did Tosus say? Now, usually, a woman checks a kesem, and she sees that there's dam on the kesem. In this particular scenario, she didn't do that. Not only that, she waited, and now there's no longer a possibility of checking the kesem, because what happened to the kesem? It was put into the laundry. They put it into the washing machine. So she's not going to even see the kesem. So Tosa says, "Im avar zman meruba mishas hakibus, mode shmuel shakesem metame, kevon diamrinon shehergisha, velava daita." So you see that Tosis is putting all the emphasis here on Hargosha. He's saying that why are we going to be metame her? It's only because we believe in this particular scenario, this set of circumstances, that she had Hargosha. The I nema, this is the logic of the Binas Adam, sheyeshno chashash shema adam higia mi alma v'lachein tzrichal hargish v'yitzias adam tikshi amai mahani hoda dilma argisha v'akati leka biru shergisha muchach sheyeshno gzer sakosuv shedam ze eno mitame below argosha. So again, I admit to you, Rabosa, we need a lot more time to go through this Binas Adam. I'm just going to give you a very superficial understanding, and don't ask me any questions, because it's much more complicated than what I'm making it out to be, and you'll have kashas. He wants to say that according to Tosfos, what's Tosfos saying? He's saying that maybe she had Argosha and she didn't know about it. He's saying that doesn't make any difference. Why? Because there still is a real chash that the dam came in a alma. Tosfos seems to be approaching this from the perspective of, did the dam come with Argosha? Did it not come with Argosha? Tosus is completely ignoring, he's oblivious to the possibilities of did it come in Gufa, did it come in Alma. All the emphasis here is on whether she had Argosha. Okay, then? Now, at the bottom of the column, he's going to quote a different Tosus on Daf Vavam and Aleph, which seems to lead us to the opposite conclusion. So again, let me just take a deep breath and review in my mind what we're saying over here. Tosus on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis seems to be analyzing the issue of Tumah Doraisa versus Tumah Darabanan in the case of Dam, which she finds on a Kesem, from the perspective of Hargosha. And Tosus wants to say that maybe she had Hargosha V'lav Adaite. Give me one second to clear my head here. So again, what's Tosfos saying? That what? Dilma Argisha. Dilma Argisha Malav Adaite. Torah, we still end up with a suffering. That it's still possible that she didn't have a Hargosha. Correct? Still possible that she did not have a Hargosha. You're raising the possibility that she had a Hargosha of a Lava Daite. That's why Shmuel is molded, that she's Tmeo. Because it's Ovar Zmanu Mishas Kibus. So since a long period of time passed by, she doesn't remember whether she had a Hargosha. And if we're going to say that there's a chash, that the dam hergisha be at higia mi alma, that's why we need Hargosha, the way the Tosfos read says it is tikshi, then we have a problem. My mahani hod dilma argisha kati leka biru shegisha. Because we still don't know that she had Hargosha. Tosfos is only raising the possibility that maybe she had Hargosha.
She says she doesn't have Hargosha.
Correct.
They're saying maybe she missed it.
Correct, because so much time has passed that we really don't know. Maybe she did have Hargosha, you know, way back when. And so the kasha is that, from the perspective of the Tosfos Rid, that doesn't make any sense. what are you telling me that maybe she had argosha? But maybe she didn't have argosha. So we don't know. Argosha.
But you're talking about I'm sorry.
Maybe she did have argosha. But again, that still doesn't convince us that the dam came migufa in this case, because she found it on a kesan. I think he's going with the first approach in the Tosfos Rid, that we think that the dam came mi alma, and if we think the dam came mi alma because the absence of hargosha,
if we think it came with the alma, then we're not even being matilah safik on it. We're not doing
right.
Anything.
So what are we saying? We're saying that it's not Tamei. So why is Tosfos saying that Modi Shmuel here that she would be Tamei? In other words, if there's Xeris HaKosav of Argosha, then maybe she had Argosha. But if you're telling me that, you know, when a woman assumes that she didn't have Argosha, we have to raise the possibility that the Dam came mi Alma, even if this long period of time elapsed, we should still say and apply the same logic. All right, we'll have to research that further. What happened on Daf Vav Amud Aleph? So he writes here, towards the end of this paragraph, Divra Maskel Me'idach, that Kosva Tosche Isha Shemotza Kesem V'Achakach Rosa Re'iya. So the question is, when does she start counting the Zayin Yemei Nidus? Einus Sofres Miyom Mitzias HaKesem El Miyom SheRosa. So Tosche says, yeah, forget about the kesem. So she saw the kesem on Sunday, and now she sees Dam Migufa on Monday. She's going to count the 7 days from Monday. Why? The Amur Lav Migufa Asa El Me'alma. So you see that Tosfos here is operating with the possibility that the Dam came Me'alma and not Migufa.
No, he's talking about on the kesem is going to be Alma.
The Dam on the kesem came Me'alma, correct? So then you see that in the case of Kesem, in the absence of Argosha, what we're raising is the possibility that Dam came Me'alma. He's not operating with Xeris HaKosav that there was no Argosha, but rather with the possibility that this is not really, we can't identify this as Dam.
No relationship to the Dam she saw afterwards.
So I think what the Sidrei Torah is going to say is that you shouldn't be bothered by these contradictions, because both are true. It all depends on what the circumstances and, you know, what question you're addressing. In certain situations, certain scenarios, Tosfos is going to address the question of the Ramban and on the premise of the Xeris HaKosav, was there Argosha, was there not Argosha? She says there was an Argosha, but maybe Lama Daita and there was Argosha. In other contexts, for example, when you want to know when she can start counting, then we're going to say that maybe the Dam came Mi'alma, and we're going to apply the logic of the Tosfos Rid. So I don't know if we have time for this next week, but we need there, you know, at some point in the future, we'll try to, thresh this out a little bit more fundamentally. And the only thing that's left here is the Rambam and Rashi to analyze their shittas. So if you don't mind holding on to these pages, I can't hold it for you. All right, you big boys, you know. You know, if I was teaching the 18-year-olds, I would say, give it back to me and I'll hold the food. But,